Yeah, God. Come on, somebody. Bless the Lord in here. How do you know He is God over all your situations? He is the Lord over all your circumstances. And if you just lift Him up, I believe He'll show up in your situations. Lift you up out of your muck and your mire. Well, the only thing you can do is to recognize that He is God all by Himself. Somebody shout, Amen! 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 Bless the Lord! Bless the Lord! He is worthy. Standing to your feet. Stand to your feet with me. Listen, listen, listen. You do not have to go to New York and L.A. to hear some of the best Christian contemporary singing on this side of heaven. You come right here to Trenton, New Jersey, and listen to the voices of Christ right here. And I'm proud, godly proud, of this choir and to call them our very own here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
One more time for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We thank the Lord. I invite your attention to the third chapter of the book of Ezra. The third chapter of the book of Ezra. And I want to invite everyone, whether you have a Bible or not, to just stand in reverence to God's holy and divine word. Third chapter of the book of Ezra. You're going to find that all before the wisdom literature. Ezra, Nehemiah, all before the books of Job and Psalm and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. In the third chapter of the book of Ezra, I want to start reading in verse number 10. And share with you what the Lord has laid on my heart to share. The Bible says in Ezra 3, verse 10. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord, according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever, forever towards Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid, because before their eyes, yet many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern or distinguish the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title of today's sermon, Let God Hear You Shout.
All right.
Let God hear you shout. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable today at this hour and always in your holy and divine eyesight. May the word you've given not return void, but may it accomplish that which you've intended. May minds be illuminated, may hearts be encouraged, and ultimately, O God, may souls be convicted, I pray. Have your way this day, O God, and we shall be careful to give your name the glory, the praise and the honor, for you alone are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' sweet name we do pray. Let the church say, amen.
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 Amen
and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ushers, you may be seated as well. When I was a kid growing up at the Holy Light Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles, California, I have vivid memories of women and men getting filled with the Spirit of the Lord and being very demonstrative, outwardly so, in their praise and in their worship. I remember around, I joined a church at 12, but I'd been going since I was 8. And as I was growing up at Holy Light at 9 and 10 and 11, I watched these women and some men get so filled with the Spirit that ushers and other leaders in the church would surround them. And they would do a couple of things that I thought curious. As a kid, I was very observant, very quiet. You wouldn't know that I was quiet as a kid because I'm not so quiet now, but I was. And I used to just sit in church and watch and observe and listen. And so the one thing I noticed was when these individuals would get filled with the Spirit, they would start jumping or moving, and there would be a certain sense of focus upwardly to God and now outwardly to people. That they were genuinely being moved and stirred in my young understanding. And number one. Number two, I watched as individuals would surround them to keep them from falling over a bench or presumably hurting themselves. And so I thought that was curious. I clearly understood something was going on of a spiritual nature, that the Spirit was inside of them and they were moving. I asked myself the question, would the Spirit of the Lord allow that person to be hurt so much so that they needed a guide around them so as not to hurt themselves? I noticed that. But then the third thing I noted was that as they got more fervently into the Spirit, I watched as ushers would take fans and try to wave them and fan them. And I said to myself, if what they have is so genuine inside of them and is so fervently being felt, could the waving of fans on the outside actually have an impact on that which was going on the inside? And so I listened to these things and I asked someone, what were they doing? Because what happened one day got my attention even more so, that I happened to be seated next to one of the senior saints who got excited and filled with the Spirit, and so much so that her hand just barely missed my face. And I realized then that I need to figure out what was going on here. And so I asked someone and they said, well, she's getting happy, young man. She's getting filled with the Spirit, and what she's doing is shouting for the Lord. And I began, ever since then, that has stuck in my head, that if churches I have been a part of, from South Central LA to East Palo Alto, California, in the Bay Area, all the way here to Trenton, I have watched individuals, men and women, get filled with the Spirit and begin to do what I learned when I was 8, or observed when I was 8 and 9 and 10, to be shouting for the Lord. And their shout was such nature, or of such the nature, that again, they were not concerned about what other folk thought about their shouting. And then it was then that I learned that shouting and getting happy for the Lord was of such an individual nature that if you are truly connected with God, every now and again, don't be surprised when you get so filled up with the Spirit of the Lord and so moved to jump up and have some demonstrative outward expression of thanksgiving because of God's grace and His mercy. Amen, somebody. There I concluded that shouting was not for form or for fashion, but it was for this genuine expression of thanksgiving and connection to God. You can be in the midst of a sad moment and you can shout for the Lord. You can be in the midst of a happy moment. You can shout for the Lord. You can be in the midst of an in-between time and you can shout for the Lord. You can be on the precipice of a breakthrough, but the breakthrough has not yet happened, and you are expecting a great breakthrough to happen, and you're shouting for the Lord because you are expecting something great to come forth. Has anybody ever shouted for God? Has anybody ever shouted to God? Has anybody ever shouted about God? Has anybody ever shouted around God? Has anybody ever shouted in the presence of God? Has anybody ever shouted and you forgot about everybody about God other than God? Come on, somebody. I believe that shouting is not some socio-cultural religious practice of people of African descent somehow relegated to an emotional response, because in the Bible it says that the Jews of ancient Israel shouted for the Lord, and if they could shout for the Lord thousands of years ago, how much more can I not shout for the Lord in 21st century America, when the devil is rearing his ugly head in places in the church, outside of the church, every now and again? We've got to understand what the Bible says about shouting for the Lord. And it brings me to the text today, Ezra, who in his generation included people like Nehemiah, people like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and maybe not at all in the same time frame, but this was not the Mosaic time frame when Israel was leaving Egypt in the wilderness on the way to the promised land in Palestine. This is not that time period. This is not the time period of the judges of Deborah and Samson and Gideon. It is not that time period. It is not the time period of the monarchs of Israel. Saul and Solomon, David and Solomon. It is not that time period. This is post-exilic time period. What do you mean, preacher? This is the moment when Israel was taken away from Jerusalem and put into captivity in places like Babylon and Medo-Persia. It is the moment when they are in, away from their homeland, away from their temple. And point of fact, it is in the post-exilic moment of Israel's history that the whole nature of a Jewish synagogue comes into being. What is a Jewish synagogue? A synagogue is not a building. The synagogue is when 10 Jewish men bring their families together and they get together and still have worship to Yahweh their God. Why is that significant? Because in the post-exilic period, there was no temple. And so they had to figure out how to worship God when there was no building. Can I just stop right there? Have all of us figured out how to worship God even in the absence of a building? I would like to think that if this church fell down tomorrow, that you and I would still be able to worship God, because it's not the building that makes the worship. It is the worship in the building that makes the people of God. Come on, somebody. I need a few folk here today who can say, even if I don't have a building to worship in, I'm still going to lift up the name of Lord. I need some folk to say, even if I can't make it to the building, I still got a reason to praise him. Ha! The Bible says that Ezra and his contemporary Nehemiah were among those waves of Jewish exiles who went back to Palestine, or back to Israel, back to Jerusalem to be exact, to rebuild the temple. Because the raiders knew that if they can destroy the temple, that they thought they could destroy the people of Yahweh. But Lord, did they find out They were wrong. And I just need to say contemporarily, so did this young, misguided, poor, young, Caucasian young man draped in Confederate flag who thought if I can shoot and murder black people in a black church that it would start a race riot. How wrong the devil was. Because right now in South Carolina, there is more unity among the races than there's ever been. And I'm so glad that that old relic of the Confederate South is going to come down on the public grounds of the South Carolina State House that can do a away with the old Union Jack, the Confederate flag, and do with the Confederate flag, because it stands for hatred, it stands for bigotry, and it stands for racism. So when the devil thought he was doing evil, God always has a way of turning this thing around and getting glory out of the situation. The Babylonians, the Persians, the Medo-Persians all thought that if they can destroy the temple, they would destroy Israel. And yet they found that the resilience of Israel's people was not in the brick and the mortar. But they found that the resilience of Israel's people was in their belief in a God that is bigger than bricks and mortars. Build bigger than buildings and bigger than guns and bigger than ammunition that kill people. That the God I serve, you heard the choir, he is God. Ezra, however, like Nehemiah, thought it not robbery to go back and build the temple. Now use this lesson as a backdrop. Because just a week ago, 21 of us left Mercer County to fly back down to Port-au-Prince, Haiti, to join Pastor Luke Deratus in the dedication of his new worship complex. In a moment, I'm going to show you some pictures of this new worship complex. But before I show you the pictures of the new worship complex, I need to show you the pictures of the tent that they worshiped in for the last 5 years as the new building was being built. And when I stood there and looked at the tent, Dr. Mitchell, that was now full of gaping holes and tattered shreds. And when it rained, there would be rain and water that would fall into the holes and try to wash out the worship that was happening under the tattered tent. But Pastor Luke said that the more it rained, the louder the people worship. The more water that poured in, the louder the people worship. And I said to myself, oh my God, if my church fell down tomorrow and I have to worship under a tent. I said, first of all, would my people that I leave be able to worship God without a building? And I said, I believe in the depth of my heart that they would. But then I said, if I had a tent that had been tattered and torn, would they still worship God even when the water was pouring down in the holes? And I said, I don't know, because none of us know what we're going to do until we find ourselves in the situation. But I was so encouraged when I looked at that tent and understood that the people of Haiti, of the Harmony Ministries, were still worshiping God and lifting up his name and giving him glory and praise even under a tattered tent. As I looked at, put these pictures up. As I looked at some of these pictures, I said to myself, this is the tent under which the people of God worshiped in Haiti. Go to the next one. And just steps away up those stairs, they watched as a new foundation was being laid for a new worship facility that would seat over 3,000 people in the sanctuary. And I stood in the sanctuaries. I took these pictures and my mind was blown because I looked at this building, but I looked out that door and I saw the tent where they used to worship. And I looked at the new building in which they now worship. And the Bible says that when the people of God saw that the foundation was being laid for their new temple, that they began to worship him. And they said in the Bible in verse number 11, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And I said to myself, I wish I had the kind of faith that when everything had been knocked down in my life, when everything had been torn down in my life, when everything had been blown down in my life, that I would still be able to say, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Is there anybody in the sanctuary today that have ever gone through some trials and some tribulations who can still say the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever? Is there anybody that ever been through an earthquake? Anybody ever been through a storm? Anybody ever been through a cyclone? Anybody ever been through a tornado? And you emerged on the other side, still be able to say, the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. The Bible says in verse 10 that the people of God, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priest stood in their peril, and the Levites stood, the priest stood in their peril with their trumpets, and the Levites of Asaph with their cymbals, and they began to praise the Lord. And you have to understand something. The temple had not yet been completed, just the foundation had been laid. And that spoke to me also, Brother Minister Bill, Brother Robinson, because I said to myself, if they can rejoice just at the foundation being laid, can you imagine what the rejoicing was going to be when the whole house had been completed and had been finished? And it spoke to my spirit to say, at whatever point of my circumstance, that if I can just lay the foundation, that the foundation will set the tone for the rest of the building that's coming behind. But the problem with some of us, we start working on the windows and the doors of our houses before we lay a strong foundation. And don't be surprised if you work on the cosmetics of your spiritual house, what you look like on the outside, how folk look at you from the outside, what folk think about you from the outside, as opposed to laying the foundation that the Lord wants you to lay. The foundation that says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. If you've got a strong foundation, it doesn't matter what the house looks like on the outside. If you've got a strong foundation, it doesn't matter what folk think about you on the outside. If you've got a strong foundation, the winds may blow, the waters may rise, but your house will be able to withstand the assault of the elements. And I looked at Pastor Luke's new church. He said, Pastor, don't look at all the beauty of the colors and the beams and everything. Understand that while we were worshiping in the tent, we had to clear the rubble. Listen now, before you can lay a foundation, you got to clear the ground. Before they can lay the foundation, they had to clear the rubble from the 2010 earthquake. Not only did they clear the rubble, but in the rubble was
some bodies that have been broken and torn and died in the earthquake. So in the midst of clearing the rubble, they had to clear the bodies out. Purportedly, there were about 1,000 folk in the building, the old building, when the earthquake struck and fell down and crushed an untold number of individuals. And I said to myself, Pastor Luke, are you telling me that on these grounds, these hollow grounds, people died and their remains might very well still be here? And he said, Pastor, I'm telling you that as we were trying to clear the rubble, we are not sure if we got everything and everybody out of the circumstance. And I said, above that, then you laid the foundation. And he said, I need you to understand that out of the blood of the martyrs of the church, build the foundation for Christianity. Come on, somebody. I begin to shout right there. I begin to say, Lord, have mercy. That the foundation that they laid for the new building that you just saw was above those who died in the 2010 earthquake. And right next to the foundation was the torn and tattered tent that they were worshiping in. And every Sunday they would look at the tent, look outside of the tent, and look at the foundation that was being laid. And don't you know that when they walked up in that church, they knew that they were walking on a strong foundation, because God was up in the house. God was in the building. God was in the bricks and the mortars of the foundation. The Bible says in verse number, if you keep reading in verse number 11, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord had been laid. Speaks to me in our spiritual lives that even when you go through your trials and your tribulations, the question is, and why, Lord, did you make this happen to me? We've got to get beyond the reality of our circumstances and say, Lord, I don't know why, but I'm still going to give you the glory, and I'm still going to give you the praise. And I'm asking you, Lord, to help me lay another foundation so that when I build my next house, that when I go through my trials and my tribulations, I know that I'm standing on a strong foundation. Has anybody ever been through anything? Has anybody ever been through a trial? Do you now look at yourself and say, I'm standing now on a new foundation. I'm standing on a stronger foundation. I'm better than I was. I'm stronger than I used to be. I got more prayer than I used to have. I got a deeper prayer life than I used to pray. I'm standing on a stronger foundation. But when you are rebuilding and letting God rebuild, understand what I'm saying? I'm using metaphor between the literal building that I saw and the spiritual lives that we have as people of God. That we are spiritual beings being built. The Bible says when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a new building, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's when we get to the other side. While we're here, God is still working on us. God is still molding us and shaping us and forming us and reworking us and rebuilding us. But all of that has to be laid upon a strong foundation of your belief in God and the sovereignty and the providence of his holy word. This is your foundation. Because when you got the word, you can do battle with the devil. When you've got the word, you can say, devil, get thee behind me. For it is written in God's word that man shall not live by bread alone. It is written in God's word that thou shalt not bow down to any other God but God. It is written. This is our foundation. So as I looked at this text and looked at Pastor Luke, show the next several slides, please. Because those pictures remind me of the fact that he embodied Ezra, building and rebuilding the church. This is Pastor Luke, who have suffered untold number of deaths in his ministry at the hands of that earthquake. But he worshiped his way through. Right. Keep going. And watched as God built a laid a new foundation and built him a new church. Amen. And as I watched him ascend into the pulpit of his new church, I said to myself, he reminds me of Ezra, the very text we were preaching from last Sunday. Because in the rebuilding of this new building, I said to myself, it takes faith to step out on nothing and believe that something is there. It takes faith to believe that God can take your broken down, messed up situation and turn it into a brand new spickin' building. It takes faith to know that God can take your rubble and bring you a praise report. It takes faith to know that God can take what the devil meant for evil and turn it around and use it for his glory. Does anybody have that kind of faith here today? While God is building your new building, the Bible says that the old men, look at verse 12, but many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers, old men who had seen the first temple, they wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this new temple was laid before their eyes. Something said it could be that maybe they were crying because they were thinking that the old temple was actually better than the new temple. But it struck me that they had not yet even seen the temple. They were crying at the foundation. And so it couldn't have been that they thought that their past glory was bigger than their current glory. Because you know, a lot of us think our past is going to be better than our future. But I'm here to let you know, as good as yesterday was, God has a way of making tomorrow a little bit sweeter. As sweet as yesterday, as today is, God has a way of making tomorrow just a little bit better. And if you just hold on to God's unchanging hand, don't you think that your past days were your best days? Because I got some news for you that up ahead in your future, God's going to open the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing that you don't even have room enough to receive it. But you got to believe it in order to achieve it, in order to receive it. So I said, no, it wasn't. It wasn't that they thought the prior temple was going to be better. I believe that they were crying. Because when God is massaging your circumstance and working out a miracle in front of you, that sometimes the only thing you can do is to just shed a tear. And I made up in my mind a long time ago that when the Lord is blessing me, sometimes all I can do is just cry and say, Father, I don't deserve it. Father, I don't know why I'm getting it. But all I can do. do is just say thank you and just shed a tear. So when you see me crying, don't feel sorry for me. Just give me a little bit of space, because I'm about to get my shout on. But I got some tears rolling down my cheek, because I didn't deserve his grace. I didn't deserve his mercy. And as I see the foundation being laid, all I can do is say, Lord, I praise you for your mercy endures forever. Listen, listen, people. As the foundation was being laid, there was a mixed reaction of weeping and rejoicing. And when God is doing a miracle in your life, and you know that it was nothing but the grace and the mercy of Almighty God that brought you out of that circumstance, when you know there was nothing but the grace and the mercy of Almighty God that snatched you out of the claws of the devil, when you know that it was nothing but the grace and the mercy. Sometimes grandmama, all she would do was just hold herself and just rock back and forth, and tears would fall down her face. And I used to say, grandmama, why are you crying? And she would say, you don't understand it, but you will understand it better by and by. This text pays such respect to the human condition, because sometimes you feel like you can do nothing but smile to keep from crying. Sometimes you got so much joy that it causes you to cry. And these old men remembered the prior temple, and they remembered the destruction. They are looking at God lay a new foundation. If you didn't get it, let me make it as plain as I can make it. Some of y'all are in broken down rubble right now. But the God I serve wants to lay a new foundation for you. You've got to let him, and you've got to walk with him. As I go to my last point, verse number 13 says it this way. It says, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. The people could not discern the noise, because the noise was such a pitch that they did not know whether it was the sound of weeping or the sound of rejoicing. For the Bible says at the end of verse 13, put the screen back up, that the people shouted with such a loud shout, and the sound was heard from afar off. And I said to myself, Pastor Luke, as you walk into this building, I hope that you and your people will be able to shout a shout of victory so loud that the people at Shiloh Baptist Church, thousands of miles away, would be able to hear the noise of your shout and understand your joy and your pain, and know that the God that is blessing you down here is the same God that is going to bless us up here. And every now and again, when the Lord does a miracle in your life, you need to learn how to shout for the Lord. I mean, open up your mouth. You don't have to do a holy dance. You don't have to jump over the pews. You don't have to swing from the chandelier. But every now and again, when the Lord has done a miracle in your situation, you need to open up your mouth and give God a shout of praise. Every now and again, you need to open up your mouth and say, neighbor, you don't know what I'm shouting for, but if you knew what I've been through, if you knew what I came through, if you knew what I'm going through, you would understand why I'm shouting. I gotta shout hallelujah. I gotta shout glory to you. I gotta shout thank you, Lord. Does anybody have a shout up in your spirit? Has God laid a new foundation for you that you gotta open up your mouth and give God a shout like you've never shouted before? Let me hear you shout, thank you, Jesus. Let me hear you shout, I bless you, Lord. Let me hear you shout, I magnify your God. Let me hear you shout. Shout because you love him. Shout because you're glory him. Shout because you magnify him. Shout. Does anybody have a shout?
Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Listen, listen. I'm not making it up. The word in Hebrew is Barak. I've already preached about it many months ago. But every now and again, you got to Barak the Lord. You got to shout, excuse me, you got to Shabak the Lord. The word in Hebrew is, Barak is kneel, Shabak is shout. You've got to Shabak him. That means you got to open up your mouth, tell somebody what you believe. Tell somebody in whom you believe. Tell somebody of what God has done for you. But when you get there, forget about everybody else and go ahead and look to the Lord and say, Father, if nobody else shouts, I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout loud. I'm going to shout long. I'm going to shout loud. Oh, you've been that good.
Hallelujah.
Listen, let me leave one more thing in your spirit.
Thank you, God.
The Lord shared this with me. That shouting is something that is practiced in the scriptures from the front to the back. Jericho. God told Joshua to march around the wall six times. And on the seventh time, I want you to get your trumpets. I want you to get your cymbals. But more important, I want you to open up your mouth. And I want you to shout. And the Bible says that when they shouted, the walls came tumbling down. I need some folk who don't mind shouting for the Lord. Shout the devil out. Shout the walls down. Shout your enemies away. Shout. Wait. Psalm 100 says, and make a joyful shout unto the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You ought to come into the house of God with some shout in your mouth. You ought not wait till Betty and Aaron and the choir get you shouting. You ought to come in shouting. I give you a third one. The Bible says that when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, listen now, that they laid the cloaks on the ground. Jesus got on a donkey. But the Bible says, and they shouted Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. But if you don't believe Joshua, and if you don't believe the psalm writer, and if you don't believe the gospel writer, look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, that when the Lord himself shall descend with a shout, that all the people of God shall be gathered together and resurrected with the sound of a trumpet. And I don't know about you, but if the God I serve is going to come back with a shout, I'm going to go ahead and start shouting right now, because I believe that my shout is a cry of praise. My shout is a war cry. My shout is to make the walls come down. Does anybody have a shout in their spirit? Does anybody have a shout that you gotta get out? Shout for the Lord. For he is worthy. He is worthy to be praised. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. One more time from the Holy Spirit. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father. Father, I pray right now that the word that has gone forth would touch someone's life, to cause them to understand the reality of what it means to be connected to you. Part of our shouting is the declaration: for Christ we live, and for Christ we die. So receive our shout today as a statement that we are connected to you. And that no matter what our circumstances look like, even in the midst of an earthquake, we're still gonna shout so that people can hear us afar off. Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you in their own sinful nature, I pray that you would draw them near you. Bring them from their circumstances of where they are to where you want them to be. And so, Father, I pray that nothing would stand in our way. Our education, our jobs, our positions, our titles, our money, our power. Nothing would stand in our way from shouting to you, God. In the name of Jesus. If there is someone here, Lord, I pray that if they're struggling with the decision, tinkering on the border of salvation, I pray that you would draw them nigh. Bring them from where they are, Lord, out of their seats, to a deeper walk with you. In the name of Jesus. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the saints of God say amen and amen. Choir singing.